You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Kyle Serafin. You can follow him on X at Kyle Serafin. Today only, you're getting 60% off all InfoWars branded products on thealexjonesstore.com. Like I said, you've probably heard the term last chance a lot on this show. Last chance to take advantage of a sale, last chance to win a prize, whatever it is. This is your last chance ever to get official InfoWars branded merchandise. We are shutting down. We will not be able to use the logo anymore. We will not be able to sell merchandise with that logo anymore. So if you want authentic, official InfoWars merchandise, you got to get it now. We make it easy by giving you 60% off. So today only, all InfoWars products, 60% off. T-shirts and hats are under 16 bucks. The InfoWars cooler bundle is a fantastic deal, especially if you're a VIP member, which everybody should be. Just go now, go today, because you're quickly running out of time. And hell, even if you just buy it to put it in a safe and sell it in 25 years, these will become collector's items. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, Kyle Serafin is my guest, and I know there's a lot going on these days. Trump is losing favorability sort of across the board, but especially with his most important base, people like non-college educated white people, collapsing in polls for their support of Trump. They're not the only ones. Support for Israel is collapsing, and that plays directly into why they're so desperate to get the Iran war done and finished and totally collapse Iran. It's one of the reasons why they really, really don't want a ceasefire, because they have destroyed their reputation overseas. They've destroyed their reputation in America, and it might not be this year, but in 5-10 years, that means the American government's going to be anti-Israel, meaning we're not going to support them, meaning they're going to be on their own, surrounded by enemies. This is an existential crisis for Israel. Can you explain this to us, Kyle?
I think regular people who don't care otherwise. You said that he's losing parts of his base, and that's probably true too. But the biggest thing that Donald Trump is hemorrhaging right now are regular people that aligned with him temporarily. There's an article in Axios, which I'm told Trump reads Axios every morning. That's the first thing he goes to. So I had somebody kind of explain that to me. So I look at Axios every day. And the lead story was the size of the shrinking tent. If you remember the way that Donald Trump wrote in, first of all, it was those 20 core promises. I keep them on my desktop at all times now. I just refer to them. And by the way, having no new wars, that was on there. It turns out that was number 8 on the core promises. It was in the top 10. Pretty simple. But the incredible shrinking tent, the way they described the actual sort of coalition that came together to put Donald Trump into office, they described it as a once in a generation opportunity. This is my frustration. I've had people complain like, oh, you're a whiner, you're crying. It's like, no, 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 no. Don't get that wrong. I didn't ever have any kind of faith in Donald Trump. I don't have faith in men in general, and certainly not in politicians. He's been in politics 10 years. He's a politician. Let's call him what he is. But I did want him to do some things, and he did a couple of them, and I should be grateful. Like guys like Owen Schroyer are not in prison, and their felonies are wiped out. My buddy Steve Baker is not in prison. Enrique Tarrio, Joe Biggs, not in prison. That's all good stuff. I was into that. That happened day one, so very good.
Yep.
But I also wanted the rest of it. I wanted as many of that 20. I thought if we got maybe 40 or 50%, we'd be in pretty good shape. And we got like one or two of them. And that's not great. You know, I just paid my taxes yesterday, and I was told by a credible authority who ran for president that we were going to get rid of the IRS and fund it with tariffs.
Yeah, I was
I was surprised to find the IRS is still in business and still taking my check yesterday.
Yeah, I think I remember that as well. Should we just go through this list? Because we got it right here. It's the Agenda 47 list that they came out with. It's the 20 promises to the American people. Seal the border and stop the migrant invasion. I'd say he did that. He did seal the border. But obviously H-1Bs, like, that's a whole different issue. Number two,
carried 600,000 out Chinese students reauthorized. I mean, there's holes in it. But generally speaking, the border part, the porous border on the southern end of the border specifically, was handled properly. So kudos where it's due. Yes.
And of course, that just proves that it being open was a choice that the Biden administration made, which would lead to perhaps treason charges for them if we ever got around to charging the deep state. Let's see if that's on the list. Number two is carry out.
There's two pieces to that, though. Let me just hone in on that one more time, because this is also relevant. not only does it prove that it's an executive decision, so just the will of the president was enough to change it, which is what they were saying the whole time. It also proves that there's no fix being done legislatively, which means that the Republican House and Senate that are not taking this up are the problem. And so, 100%. You know, like every single silver lining also has sort of the darkness on the inside of it. That's the dark part of it.
Right. And hey, don't get me wrong. I blame the Republican Party just as much as I blame Trump, the person. It's like, you know, they have completely and utterly failed to uphold their end of the bargain as well. And it's just stupid overall because they're not going to get elected. Like, they're going to lose the power they love so much because they refuse to just do what the American people want. It's just there's no making sense of it at all. But of course, number two is carry out the largest deportation operation in history. Not even close, Kyle.
Not even close. Not even like to the point where I've got friends that are working with ICE right now. They're federal agents that are working on joint task forces. And they said if they did what they do every single day in every city in America with the staffing that they had and no new people came in and they just pursued the stacks they had, they'd be doing it for 10 to 15 years. We're not even close to operating that way. And of course, we only have this is the sad thing. You mentioned that it feels like it's really long in the administration, even though it's only 1 year in. This is the way that the game of politics is played for anybody who pays attention. You get 2 year cycles, which means you have to have enough progress by year one to be able to get the next 2 years to go with you if you're on a 4 year election term. Obviously, the members of Congress that are doing every 2 years, that's different. But when we start talking about the executive, you get 2 years to show that you have enough traction. But in order to get those second 2 years, you got to win the first quarter to be able to be allowed to play the second half. Otherwise, you get mercy ruled. And in the case of Donald Trump, we've already seen if you don't win and you don't hold on to the House, you get impeached. If you don't hold on to the Senate, they may actually throw you out, which is even wilder. But the game has gotten so much more radical because we're not playing by the old rules where people used to do that, where they were sort of a gentleman's agreement. In my lifetime, we used to give the president 100 days where they would get their agenda to move as fast as they could to see what they could do with it. And everybody would operate in good faith. In my lifetime, you used to get 90 to 95, maybe 98% of the senators to confirm the cabinet because everybody agreed this is a president. He was elected. He's allowed to have the people representing him in his cabinet that he wants.
Yep.
And all we need to do is make sure they're not like, you know, foreign spies or some sort of traitorous people with some huge, deep secrets in their background. We don't do that anymore. We're passing cabinet members 51-49.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so contentious that we're not even operating on the system. I actually think the system is so weighted by the inefficiencies and sort of the non-functionality of it at this point that it's kind of inevitable that it doesn't survive indefinitely. I just don't know how long that is. And I don't think that means the world ends. I think it means that we end up maybe closer to what America was designed to be, which is a confederation of states where the most important government is actually in your state capital and not in Washington, D.C. That was the way we were designed. That's why it's called the United States of America, not like some other thing, the Republic of America, right?
Yeah.
It's the United States. We're supposed to all have states that we answer to. So anyway, watching all of that stuff and the way that the game has gone so radical in probably the last 20 years since I've actually been paying attention, it's really bad. I mean, it's really bad, but in the end, it actually may end up being kind of a silver lining as well. It's like, I don't think the system was designed that way. I don't think anybody that's in office is guilty of causing the system to be the way it is. I think most of these things go back to the early 1900s, like turn of the century. Yep. So we're talking about 1908, 1913 era.
Yep.
There's some real strong ones that happened in the 1940s as well. And so Congress stopped doing their job 75 years ago, 80 years ago. You know, we gave central power to the United States federal government in 1913, and we broke the systems that we have. I mean, most people don't realize this, but like you weren't even designed to be able to pick your president. It wasn't supposed to be that important. It really just wasn't. And you weren't supposed to be able to pick your senator for sure.
Right. That was 1913, the 17th Amendment. Probably the most important year in American history was 1913. And my belief is the income tax. It was everything happened in 1913. Yeah, and of course, the next year we go to World War One and the 17th Amendment. People don't understand this. It used to be that your senator was appointed by your state's legislature. So you would vote for your local representative to go to, in my case, the Capitol in Austin. And then they, representing me, would choose a senator to send to Washington, and they would recall the senator if he wasn't doing well. But 1913, the 17th Amendment made it then a popularity contest, which is a lot easier to rig. One big statewide contest is a lot easier to rig than 100 localities to steal a whole state legislature. So it made it a lot easier to rig and a lot more democratic, which I'm against as a Republican. I don't want democracy.
Yeah, no, democracy is the enemy 100%. And it was the enemy that the founders saw as a problem. Like, if you look at what that actually did, and this is such a mechanism that people don't necessarily grasp, and it's pedantic, but it's so important. because the system has been broken since before anybody who's alive today voting could have been responsible. So I don't blame boomers, and I don't blame the, you know, the greatest generation or the silent generation or any of them. And like you, they weren't old enough to make these decisions. Those people are all long gone at this point. But it's worth looking at the mechanism. What we had then was a distilling of the popular sentiment. So as you voted, you know, I'm in Texas too. So we vote our people to be in Austin. Austin has a red legislature, even though they're like real squishy and a lot of stuff. They still were Republicans. So if we wanted a red state representation in the state houses, then we would get theoretically the same senator that would go and represent them. But it distilled what it came down to. So we all voted for our local representation, which is in a small little district of people that we would theoretically know, people that I run around with and, you know, in my county, in Williamson County. We would put somebody into the state legislature, and then that sentiment would get distilled. Not like drinking a beer, but like drinking a shot. And so you would get whatever the strongest version of that is to be sent off. And if you look at the way that the state houses are divided across this country, you would have a supermajority. It wouldn't always be red in this country because we've changed differently and the dynamics have changed, but it would be a supermajority of state houses represented in the Senate. And then you would have functionality. You actually would, instead of it being a 59, you know, a 51-49 split where we're maybe getting someone not showing up and having the vice president come in and break a tie. It should have not been that difficult to be able to pass actual legislation when it mattered. Instead, yeah. What we have is this series of compromises. And so they have to make new rules about, oh, if it's about money, which we have to spend because God forbid we go without a budget. By the way, my favorite times are when the government shut down.
Oh, my God. They're my favorite. Couple of months, we got to go through that rigmarole. It's exhausting.
But here's the thing that it proves. Most people, and I remind people on this on my daily podcast when we do it, it's like, listen, you know that the federal government shut down? Oh, you didn't know because the stoplights all work. And when you turn on the gas at your house, it's still functional and you flush the toilet and it still goes somewhere. And if you have a problem with your internet, there's a guy that comes out. Like the world still keeps turning because we're actually not Washington, D.C. centric, even though a lot of politics ends up going there because that's where the big money comes from. It's such a dysfunctional group that when they don't go to work, nobody notices.
Yeah.
They just spend, you know, whatever, $7 trillion a year to let us know that they own us, but not in any meaningful way, because the minute they stop going to work, nobody cares. And it doesn't affect your life or my life or anybody that's listening's life, unless you work for the federal government, obviously.
Or unless they want you to feel it by making the airport lines 4 hours long
by
shutting down TSA. Yeah.
It's literally the only time most people interact with the federal government. Like if you guys sat there and thought about it, you interact with the IRS when you call for help on your taxes and they don't answer the phone. So that's cool. And then you interact with them at a TSA and that's basically just theater. I mean, you can look at the old red cell test they used to do. They would sneak 95% of the weapon components that they wanted to get through to the point where classic government answer. And I know this from talking to people that were in DHS and that were part of the Air Marshals program and so on. They didn't fix the security of TSA when they were having really, really bad red cell tests where they would be able to penetrate with bomb components and weapons and so on. They just stopped publishing the results and stopped doing the red cell because it was really damning. That's the world we live in right now. It's like, hey, there's a problem. What's the problem? People know that we suck. Okay, well, what can we do? We could suck less, or we could just stop telling people and stop testing to find out if we suck.
That basically like answers like 90% of that's the problems of in the world. I mean, literally, and that, I mean, anything you apply it to, that is the truth. I mean, look at Europe. It's like, do you solve the problem with migrants causing violence, or do you silence the people complaining about it? Every time they will silence people complaining about it because they like the problem. They want the problems. It's actually, that's the point. The point of a system is what it does, and that's what it always does. So it's not a coincidence that they keep doing it. It's just, you know, it's hard for people to understand, I guess.
It's also, as we go through these, and we'll get to one of them about election security, which, by the way, if you were going to tell me the central promises that I walked away with when I was voting, and I'm not a Republican, and I'm an independent that's very conservative and generally leans towards Republicans because there's not a better option
right.
Most of the time. So those are the people that are walking away from this coalition in droves, the big tent that was talked about in Axios, the people that really wanted conservatism, knowing that Donald Trump is a 90s Democrat. He's not a conservative. He's never been a conservative. He's a feminist, first of all. So that doesn't make any sense. He's basically like a little bit left of Bill Clinton, which is not a terrible place to be. The 90s were pretty good. So for whatever people like to say that he is or he is not, you know, I don't think he's religious. I don't think there's any evidence of that. He was asked about the Bible. He doesn't even know whether the first half or the second half is the better half. He doesn't know anything about any of the stuff he's supposed to know about if he was a quote unquote conservative. But that's not problematic for the average person. What's problematic is if you make promises like everything is contingent on me getting rid of the people that are causing the prices to be jacked up, which is illegal aliens. And that's a simple solution. Like, it's complicated, but it's a simple like problem target set. And then the other piece of it is election security, because apparently we don't have secure elections, but you really want me to go out and vote? Like, I'm not even sure I'm going to vote in national stuff. I'm probably going to leave the national stuff off, and I'm going to vote in the things that happen in my county and for my school board and for the municipality I live in. Those probably matter on the outside chance those actually work. But I saw someone say the other day that voting in America in 2026 is the adult equivalent of writing a letter to Santa Claus.
It's hard to disagree with that. I mean, but
it
you're exactly
stings.
But it's like these are the root problems, and we can point to all these other things going on, but it's like, how did we get there? Illegal aliens, driving up prices, driving down wages, et cetera, not being able to actually trust our vote and actually get people that we want in power. If we can solve those things, a lot of other problems get solved automatically downstream, but we've not put the focus into that. And the blame I would put squarely on Trump and the Congress, because it's the Congress's prerogative. And Congress seems happy to give up their power. I mean, they're supposed to be the ones to dictate whether or not we go into war. They have completely abandoned that responsibility, and they're happy to sit on the sidelines as Donald Trump does an extended military excursion, or whatever label they're putting on it now. So it's not even that it's a battle between the founders thought that people would be jealous of their power and they would want to defend it. And, oh, the executive's trying to, move in on our territory. They don't care. They're happy to let the executive take it, and they can, do whatever Eric Swalwell gets up to.
They also assume that people would have actual businesses outside of just being some sort of congressman who leverages the power that they have and the access and the information. They actually have recesses built in so people could go back and check on their businesses, because when this country was set up, the people that went out there and were serving in government, it probably was a real imposition to their lives. It really was service, as opposed to what, now people talk about public service. I used to hate that when I was in the military. They'd be like, oh, thank you for your service. I'm like, they pay us, right? Like, it was a voluntary transaction. I showed up and I enlisted, and I took a huge pay cut when I did. I went from working in corporate finance to being an enlisted guy. I went from like $100,000 a year to like $18,000 a year. But I did it voluntarily. Like, no one made me do it. I wanted to. And I was excited about the transaction that I was involved. I was going to do training, hang out with people. It's a very interesting experience. And so it was worth it for me. The idea that people are like giving up so much to go be members of Congress, then why are all the dirtbags who basically either one of two things, either they're super wealthy and they're going to defend their wealth, that seems like a fair number, or the people that really aspire to like get to the next level and they're dirtbags and they do dirtbag things and they have no problem. It's actually not that hard to be uber wealthy in America if you have no scruples and if you have no moral compass. That turns out, I know lots of people, I'm sure you do too. You're like, yeah, I could do that too if I had no scruples.
Yeah.
That'd be easy.
Yeah, no, it seems to be like the only way to get ahead now. It seems like if you're honest and trustworthy and a decent person, you're just a sucker at this. You're an idiot, because the dude down the road just, pretending to create daycares, he's getting $50 million from the government. You're the idiot who's working 9 to 5 and paying your taxes, you moron. I mean, that really goes to the heart of it as well, right? We actually built a country that was dependent on self-sacrifice and like just trustworthiness. We have all these vulnerabilities that make life good, because you don't want to live in a prison. But if you let people take advantage of those vulnerabilities, they have to go away, and suddenly we're locking up the deodorant in the CVS aisle. So it's like we are losing the really precious part of our civilization, which is trust and trustworthiness. And that's like being deliberately driven out in favor of just schemes and scams and con artists everywhere.
It's almost like you're describing a nation that has Christian principles would be sort of a superior thing. The upside of being people who live in a nation that used to have Christian principles and are clearly deluding. And you could look at the numbers in 1970, like 90% of America identified as Christian of some denomination. Today, it's like closer to 60%, but we're still the majority. And there's obviously a major influx of people that don't. The upside of being a Christian is that you're not actually theoretically living for this world. So it turns out that's actually okay. The scammer will get theirs at some point. If they want the reward on here on earth, that's what they're going for. So you couldn't talk me into doing something that's unscrupulous and try to live, because I don't want to live with that. I don't want to set that example for my children. Many of those people don't have kids, I've noticed too. It's very interesting the number of people that have either no or very few children that are looking out there and they're looking like, how do I get mine right now? so that I can be Lord of the Ashes. Well, I'm like, my kids are going to be warlords of whatever you leave right. because they're going to be functional, well-adjusted people who have skill sets that are, you know, tangible. I've got my 8-year-old daughter moving a lawnmower around with me last night because I was like, yeah, you want to learn how to push the lawnmower and how to use the, you know, the self-drive propel. It's a little bit too much for her because it's a little heavy and she's tiny. But she knows how to shoot a gun. She knows how to cook an egg. She knows how to bake a cake. She knows how to do functional things. I would trade that over having $50 million and a bunch of people. I look at my next door neighbors and like they've got my kids essentially in the future working for them mowing their lawns when they have kids that are old enough to mow their own lawns.
Right.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to be the person that is unscrupulous or doesn't have the value set because it's like, look, I get a lot of value about what I do. I don't have to have it in some numerical number. It's all about, are my children going to be awesome people? Are they going to have a good life? And am I going to walk away and know that when I die, I'm leaving something that's better? If you want to be the person that scams everybody, but you're driving around in a Tesla, like, okay, cool, dude, that's you. I wouldn't want to trade places with you. You couldn't talk me into it.
I also don't want to live like Eric Swalwell, just constantly thinking about all the terrible things I've done. And just, you know, I can only imagine every time he gets online, there's a moment of panic where he's like, ooh, is it out yet? Is the truth out yet? Okay, I'm good
is
for
today
another.
I the mean, day.
My God, I cannot imagine living with that type. I would, you know, you're gonna spend 10 minutes with some cheap hooker and somehow that's worth a lifetime of like terror that it's going to be released. It's like, who makes these decisions? It's insane.
Well, it does go to our core nature, which is pretty fallen. I mean, here's the thing. Like every man has been on a business trip and had a pretty woman walk by and look at him once and go, and that mind goes like, oh, is that an opportunity? And then you go, is that opportunity really what I'm about? Is it worth anything? And the answer is no, if you're a smart person or if you live like I do, which is that I assume the government's coming after me because after I left the FBI, I had surveillance on me when I flew out to go move my stuff out of a storage unit. So I watched government agents follow me. Like I assume everything. If I get a DM from somebody I don't know, I'm like, what are you trying to pull here?
Right, right.
You know, I got DMs from the Iranian state media. And when I got it, I was like, crap. Not only am I not going to respond to the Iranian state media for whatever reason they thought they were going to talk to me, I also now know the FBI is spying on me and they have access to all my stuff. And what I see, just kind of related to that, think about the fact that we have a Congress right now that wants to push a clean FISA renewal and Donald Trump is behind it. Literally the guy who got to experience FISA being used against his own campaign. And now he's like, oh, FISA's totally good. If people want to know how far we've gone and how far away we've gone from the mark, they can just look at the fact that our Congress went from saying we shouldn't be spied on. We have evidence they spied on us with Arctic Frost. By the way, let's give these same clowns that we haven't done any reform on, let's give them the exact same power that they want, because we should.
Well, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay, so they've been spying on us, but we want to stop them from spying. But if we try to stop them from spying, then they use the information they got from spying on us. It's a very convenient system the intelligence agencies have here. It's their, the congressmen are now incentivized on their own accord to vote for more and more FISA warrants and surveillance on the American people. It's just absolutely sick. And we hardly got through this list, but I think you make a great point of even just showing this list of going, no, this is what was promised. It's not us. We're not making up what we expected Trump to do. It was laid out in bullet points, 20 of them, saying what the priorities of the Trump administration were going to be. Going to war with Iran is not on here anywhere.
It's
and
not.
A lot of the
no,
stuff
nowhere
Trump
in there
is doing.
To say that we've always been at war with Iran. Nowhere, it turns out.
No,
it's just not there.
So why are they complaining that we're talking about it? That's the real issue. And that's what they want everybody to think, is that it's our fault for talking about it. If we lose the midterms, it's your fault for complaining. No. It's your fault for not following through on your promises.
Well, you guys were touting the low IQ hat, which I think is hilarious. And I love the way that Alex went and responded. You got it. Fantastic. I love the way that Alex was going on and he went with JP Sears and pointed out the fact that it's like, look, you know, I'm going to make light of this. But the real damage comes down to people not doing the thing that they said. And here's how I know that you can't actually change the system. We have a guy right now who's bad-mouthing, you know, Alex Jones, of all people, and he's bad-mouthing him about being a liar And he left the FBI after 292 days where he was in a senior executive position to actually do real change, to do a podcast. And so you know that podcasts and information is where the battle is actually being waged, because the people that theoretically would be successful are actually going back into podcasts. Mark Levin being touted by the president. There's a reason why they want to target that and why they want to tout certain voices. And it's the reason why President Trump, I think, actually tried to devalue the influence, because it's really obviously there.
I think that's exactly right. I think you're exactly right. They know how powerful we are in their scared. Kyle Serafin, incredible stuff, folks. Stay tuned. More on the other side with Matt Bracken. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.